weak made strong. I pray that God's with me in this moment. Church, my name is Ryan France. I'm an elder serving on the board since the beginning of 2025. I've been a member and an attendee, like many of you, since late 2010. I thank you all for being here today. I'm humbled and I'm grateful to worship and listen to the Word of God with you. The elder team and I want to acknowledge that this is a tough day. It's been a difficult week. Lots of emotions, hurt, and confusion, to name a few. I'm comforted and reminded by Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Church, I lost my senior pastor this week too. CJ is my friend. I love him, and I love his family dearly. I recognize that we all have questions, and we cannot answer all of those today. But we are going to answer a few that have come in from you, the congregation, in an attempt to provide some clarity. I want to acknowledge that our answers may not meet all of you where you're at as you process this news or our decision. Other questions and answers that have come in that aren't answered today, I can promise you'll be on the Northview site in a frequently asked question document at the beginning of the week. I'll finish with letting you all know throughout this process that we weren't perfect. Yes, we made some mistakes. But I'm confident in telling you that we looked and prayed to God for wisdom and discernment. We did our absolute best in making extremely hard choices. We did our best to honor those involved, our staff, and all of you. Above all, we did our best to honor God and protect His bride. To that end, we are committed to following God's leading throughout this process and fulfilling our mission, making Jesus known. Thank you.
Well, good morning, Northview. My name is Jeff Seagrave, and my family and I have attended Northview for the past 15 years. We serve and worship at our Fishers campus, and we have since it started in 2013. I've had the honor of serving on the elder board since the beginning of 2024. We're truly grateful to be here with you this morning. We know this has been a difficult week for all of you, as it has been for our elder team and all of our staff. We still believe it is important as a church body to engage in our worship this weekend. However, we do want to take a few minutes to answer some outstanding questions that we have received. Now, please know that we feel large public gatherings like this are not really the best places to process personal pain. And so we want to be sure that you know our hearts in this and that we are available to set up a time to talk with you personally as needed. Feel free at any time simply to reach out at the following email address. It's just elders@northviewchurch.us. And like Ryan mentioned, I'm not going to be able to answer all of your questions this weekend. But we will be posting answers to additionally frequently asked questions, as he mentioned, on the leadership section of our website this week. Today, our goal is to answer the most asked questions and then to provide you with some context for the decision that was made. First off, who are the elders? Our elders are men recognized by the church as being called by God to serve as spiritual overseers and to provide, along with the senior pastor, spiritual direction for the congregation. Under the church's bylaws, the senior pastor is accountable to the elders. Our current elders are Tim Colvin, who serves as our vice president of the board, Wayne Kinney, Travis Theobald, Ryan France, myself, and Ernest Asamoah. Secondly, why was Pastor CJ's employment terminated? Pastor CJ's employment as senior pastor at Northview was terminated by the elders because of the impact his leadership style and interpersonal conduct was having on our staff, some of our community, and many of our attenders. This was not the result of one isolated incident, but rather a pattern of repeated behaviors that continued without change. The elders determined that Pastor CJ was not acting in accordance with the biblical standards identified for church leaders in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We know that many are concerned that this termination was caused because of financial impropriety against Northview Church. And we want you to know that that was not the case. Next, how did the decision to terminate Pastor CJ's employment come about? The elders voted to terminate Pastor CJ's employment on June 4th after a series of serious concerns that were brought to the attention of the elders and the executive staff over the course of time. These concerns, in addition to the allegation that had been raised in mid-2025, combined with what we determined that was not above reproach, that led the elders to make the decision that parting ways with Pastor CJ was necessary. We are not able to discuss the details of the investigation or the allegation upon which it was based, but we can share about the process, because we know that for some of the church, our decisions seem to happen quickly and without warning. And for others, the decision did not happen quickly enough. In 2025, upon hearing the allegation, we immediately called an emergency elder meeting and voted to place Pastor CJ on an administrative leave of absence. We then hired a third-party law firm to investigate and to report back on the allegations, and thereafter had a full discussion about the outcome of the investigation and next steps. At that time, based on the report, the elders did not believe terminating Pastor CJ's employment was called for. However, we did commit to remaining attuned to any conduct that was inconsistent with biblical standards. Over time, the elders became aware of, and our staff continued to experience, conduct that did not align with what Scripture requires of a church leader. Accordingly, the elders made the difficult decision, after much prayer and discussion, to end Pastor CJ's employment with unanimous support from the trustee board and the executive team. And lastly, as a posture of humility and a commitment to learn, we acknowledge this is a difficult season for our church, and we have been humbled by all that has happened. We are committed to processing together as a community, learning from this experience, and allowing God to shape us through this difficulty. We pray for God's presence to be with us, for His wisdom, and humility as we face what is ahead. In the interim, we, the elders, have unanimously voted to appoint Pastor Mark Kroll to the position of Senior Executive Pastor to help lead and guide our church as we move through this season of leadership change. And we have asked him to speak this weekend to share his pastoral heart with our congregation. And we humbly ask that you would open yourself to receive what God may be speaking to you this morning through his words. At this time, I'd like to hand it off to Pastor Mark.
I just want to add my appreciation to each one of you who are here in church today. I want to thank all of you online who are watching. We have a lot of our people that are on summer vacations now, and hopefully you're at a beach watching a service today and enjoying time with your family. Also, I just want to welcome all of our multi-site campuses, and just so glad that you are here. This is an important weekend in the life of our church, and if you've lived long enough in life, you know, you look like me, gray hair, losing hair, what you will realize that life is filled with some mountaintops. A child's born, you get married. I mean, really high highs. And then life is filled with some really low valleys. There's death, there's loss. And then there's a whole lot of in-between, right? Mountains, valleys, a whole lot of in-between. And with the events of this last week, I just want to acknowledge that emotionally, we have people on the entire spectrum of the valley to the mountaintop of emotions. And it's okay. It's hard for people who are in the valley to even imagine how can you be closer to the mountaintop. And for the people that are on the mountaintop, how could you possibly be in the valley? And then there's a lot that of us who are in between this, like we're not really sure what we feel about everything. And that's okay. Because life as we knew it changed unexpectedly, this week, I want to remind all of us of an important doctrine of our Christian faith. You might think, doctrine? Really, at a time like this, that's kind of dry, isn't it? No. No, it's not. It's called the doctrine of God's sovereignty. And we get it from God's word. That's where we get all of our Christian doctrine. And this is what God's word teaches us. God possesses absolute authority, supreme power, and complete control over all of his creation. Remember Job from the Bible? I mean, that guy had a rough life. I mean, there's no one who suffered more than that man if you read the book. Job said, "I know that you can do all things, God, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." No purpose of yours, God, can be thwarted. Job got it. The reason I share this important doctrine is to make one simple and obvious point. Although we were shocked, we were surprised by this decision, God was not. God is unsurprisable. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to use it. He's unsurprisable. He's not surprised by the decision. He's not surprised by the timing of the decision. The doctrine of sovereignty would tell us that he either ordained it to be so or he allowed it to be so. Either way, he didn't forbid it and he chose not to change it. And if you believe that God is sovereign, which I do, It leaves us, those that believe that to be true, it leaves us to respond to this decision in one of two ways. We either trust God's sovereignty in this situation, or we do not. It's one or the other. That kind of leads us to another Christian doctrine, which is the doctrine of free will. You have a choice. God's sovereignty and free will are in tension. Theologians have been trying to figure this out for a long, long time, but there is a tension in these concepts. Some of you might be thinking, man, I would hate to be in Mark's shoes right now. I want you to know that I do not feel that way. It is an honor to stand before you and to be entrusted by God with such an important responsibility. You see, on April 4th, 1987, in a time of deep personal pain and brokenness in my life, I took out a blank piece of paper. And I drafted out a contract for the rights to my life. I told God, God, I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. As best as I know how, God, I will hear your voice and I will follow your calling on my life. And Northview Church, here I stand behind this pulpit. He led me here to this role, to this point in time, and I am honored to serve the King in this way. Amen. Being entrusted with this responsibility in this interim season of time, by the way, I don't want to be the senior pastor of our church, so in case you were wondering. I've known that for a long time. You get old enough, you know who you are and who you aren't. So I don't want to be, so don't have that. But I'm entrusted with this moment. And the first act that I want to do as the directional leader of our church is I want to call us to pray. It's the most important thing that we can do in a time like this. I don't know if you've read through the Bible, but God's people in the Old Testament, when they went to the Lord and prayed about their rough situations, things went way better for them than when they ignored the Lord. And so I am calling you, Northview Church, to pray. And not just Northview Church, if you are online, I'm asking you to pray for the church that we call Northview. It's God's church, but we call it Northview. There's two types of people I just want to acknowledge. There are those of us who call Northview our home church, and there are those of us who are watching, maybe in the room. You're not a part of the family, but you wanted to be here to see what happened, you know, or you're online and you're watching. You call another church your home church. So there's two different people. And so the way that this prayer is going to be led is I'm going to have three prompts, and each prompt will be 30 seconds long, okay? I'm going to ask you to pray out loud if you are willing. You don't have to, okay? So please don't feel stressed out or pressured. If you don't want to pray out loud, just pray silently. God can hear your prayers. If you're willing to pray out loud, I'm asking you to pray out loud, and here are the three prompts. I'm asking all of us to pray for Northview Church in this season. However the Lord leads you, let the Lord lead you. Number two, I'm asking you to pray for Pastor CJ and Kristen and the Johnson family. This is an incredibly difficult time in their life. And the third thing is, I ask you to pray for the big capital C church. All right, so if you're a Northview person, I want you to think of a church that comes to your mind and pray for that church in our community. If you're with us and you're not a part of Northview, I encourage you to pray for your church, your home church. All right, we are all in this together. And so I got my handy dandy Casio watch here that will keep our time. And I will just lead us prompt by prompt. So I invite you to pray out loud, however the Lord leads you. And let's all begin by praying for Northview Church. Now I ask you to pray for Pastor CJ and Kristen and the Johnson family. Lastly, I ask you to pray for the Capital C Church. Thank you, Lord God, for hearing the prayers of your people on this day. We offer them up in faith, God, trusting in your good, pleasing, and perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I look out over this crowd and I see faces that I've known for a long, long time. Our kids grew up together, and you know me pretty well. And then there are faces, and I look at this crowd, and you don't know me at all. We've never had a conversation. And I thought it might be helpful to just share with you a little bit about who I am. And I'm going to start with the foundation, and that is identity. And I want you to know that my identity is grounded in the fact that because I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, I am a child of the living God, a son of the Most High King. Everything about me is built upon that foundation. I am also a husband of 38 years to my wife, Karen, the most beautiful person I know. The radiance of Jesus Christ in this woman's life is as bright as any person I've ever met. I am simply in love with her. I'm a father to two sons and two daughters who all married just very wonderful, amazing people. They all four and their spouses are actively involved in their Christian faith and in their church, serving and engaged in church life. And the way that each of them are living their lives is an answer to many, many prayers of Karen and mine since the day they were born. I am so very proud of my children. I am a grandfather of 12. I don't know, there's a picture here. I'm a grandfather of 12. The oldest is 6, and the youngest is currently being knit together in Katie's womb. This right here is a very fertile group of people. If wealth in life is measured by family love and closeness, I feel like I am the richest man in the world. And I believe it is measured that way. I've been in full-time ministry my entire adult life. The first 8 years, I worked with a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. It's now called CRU. 3 of those years, college campus ministry at Bowling Green State University. 5 years at Family Life. From there, Karen and I moved to New Hampshire, where we helped to plant a church, and we were church planters for 4 years. And then on November 1st, 2002, Pastor Steve Poe invited me to join staff. That was my first day on staff. The first year on staff at Northview, I was the assimilation pastor. I helped people get involved in church life. After that first year, Pastor Steve invited me to become the first executive pastor of our church. And for the next 21 years, I served in the role of executive pastor at Northview Church. A year and a half ago, I took on a new responsibility, and that was to be the staff pastor, to be a pastor to our staff team. And if you're a staff member here, or if you're watching online or at a multi-site, I want you to know that I am so very grateful for you. I've gotten a chance to know them so well in this role. We have really great, wonderful people at our church, pastors and staff all the way down the line. And I'm just super proud of our staff. And then a week ago, I was asked to serve our church as the interim senior executive pastor. You're like, what does that mean? You know, that means that I'm leading along with our executive team as the first among equals, all right, to provide directional leadership, and I will lead and work with our elders as well during this season of time. There's just one last thing I want to share about me, and it's this. I love God's church, capital C church. If you are watching or listening and you don't call Northview your home church, I want you to know that I am for you. I am with you. I am your brother in Christ, and I am an ally in the battle with you. Thank you for what you're doing. And I also love my church. I love Northview Church. I have poured out my blood, sweat, and tears over our church. I've raised my kids here. We are not a perfect church. I am not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect pastor. But Northview, you are my family. And I am not a man who leaves his family. And I promise you, as best as I know how to do it, I will do my very best to lead with a sound mind, with godly character, and with biblical stewardship in mind. So that's me. All right? Who are we? Who are we? We are the church. We are the ecclesia. Do you know where we come from? We come from a day that was called the Day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God fell upon his people and the Church of Jesus Christ was born. The church is described in the Bible in a lot of different ways, and I want to quickly just touch on 7 ways that will help define who we are, all right? And the first one is this. The church is people, not buildings. You've heard this before, 1 Corinthians 3. Do you not know that you are God's temple? You know, God used to dwell in a building, the temple. Now you are the temple. We are the temple, not this building. Another thing that, the way the church is described is the church is the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. He describes this interdependent relationship that we all have with each other. I may be a finger, you may be an arm, but you know what? We need each other. The finger doesn't do a lot of good if it's not connected to the arm. Third thing, the church is the bride of Christ. We heard that earlier from Ryan. Husbands, love your Christ, love your wife, just as Christ loved the church. Christ loves his bride. Fourth, the church is the family of God. 2 Corinthians 6. I will be the father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. He's our father. We are sons and daughters. The Bible also describes us in relationship as brothers and sisters. I'm your brother. You're my sister in Christ. We are a family. What makes church feel like a family is when you come together for fellowship, whether that be in a small group, weekend service, on a men's or women's outing, whatever it is, that makes it feel like family. So I'd encourage all of us to engage with your family. Number five, the church is a hospital for the sick and the hurting. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. One of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. The church should be a place where people who are sick and need help will come and get better. Ministries like our Grief Share, our Divorce Care, our Hopeful Tomorrows Weekend for Marriages, our Miracle Prayer Moments, these are all expressions of our church being a hospital. Number six, the church is an army on a mission. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual army. We are on a mission. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Our expressions of local outreach, global missions, anytime that you share your faith in Christ with another person, anytime that you serve somebody with the hands and feet that God has given you, you are being the spiritual army of God. You are serving his church. And lastly, the church is a school of training and equipping. Acts 5, every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. What is the curriculum of the teaching? The curriculum of the teaching is God's word. It's the Bible. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Our SOAP Bible studies or any of our Bible studies, our discipleship walk, certainly our weekend sermons and the sermons are ways that our church expresses the teaching ministry, the equipping ministry, the discipleship ministry of our church, all right? So when all seven of these things are working and we are fulfilling and we are being the church is the most powerful force on planet Earth. I mean, it truly is the hope of the world. When the church is actually functioning the way the church is created by God to function, no force on planet Earth can stand against it. You know, we're in a sermon series. Speaking of teaching and sermons, we're in this sermon series called A Great Cloud of Witnesses, where we're talking about 52 people of the Bible, main people of the Bible that tell the story of God. And just in case you're wondering, we are, during this interim period of time, we're going to continue to do that series. We're going to continue on the journey we're doing. And the way that this pulpit will be filled during this interim season is by a team effort of our pastors who are in our house. We have a lot of wonderful pastors on our staff, and we are going to fill the pulpit, and the teaching will be done by people that you know firsthand, all right? But yeah, I agree. I mean, just this year, we had Aaron, and then we had Derek just preached last weekend, and then Todd. I mean, really, really wonderful, outstanding messages of teaching. And so this weekend, our person is Samuel. Because of all that's going on, I'm not going to be able to really preach a sermon on it, but I do want to just give a devotional thought. You know, if you know who Samuel is, he was the first prophet of God for God's people, the nation of Israel, and he was kind of like a bridge the gap between the era of the judges, which is Gideon and Samson, who we talked about, and he bridges the gap to the era of the kings, when the nation was asking for kings, and so that's Saul and David and Solomon. And so in between, you have this person, Samuel, who serves as a prophet. Samuel he's one of the persons where we know his whole life story from his birth to his death. There's not many in Scripture where you get the whole story, but Samuel is one of those. His mom was Hannah. Hannah was barren, and she goes to the tabernacle, and she seeks God for a child, for a son, and she says, if you give us a son, then if you give me a son, God, I will give the son back to you, all right? And so God answers her prayer, and so Samuel then, as he becomes a boy, Hannah brings Samuel to the priest Eli, and Samuel serves under Eli in the temple. Well, a very defining moment happens in Samuel's life that really marks him as the prophet of God, but also exposes the nation of Israel for their sin. And it was, Samuel is asleep and he hears a voice and he thinks it's Eli. So he goes to Eli. He says, did you call for me? And Eli says, no, I didn't call for you. Strange. So he goes back and this happens like three times. Well, in the middle of it, Eli finally realizes it's the Lord who is calling Samuel. And so he tells Samuel, the next time the Lord calls you, I want you to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Which is amazing, applicable truth to this story. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Well, Samuel does that the next time he hears this voice, and sure enough, it's the Lord. And the Lord gives Samuel an extremely tough message to relay to Eli. It was a message basically of total devastation that was going to happen to Eli and his entire family because of their sin against the Lord. So, of course, Samuel is intimidated and afraid to say this to Eli, but Eli, to Eli's credit, he insists that Samuel tells him all of it. Tell me the whole news. And then Eli also receives it as God's will. And I tell you this story because there's a certain group of people in our church that I want to acknowledge and recognize, and that is, and here's the point. So here's the point I want to make about the story. God uses a child, a boy, to accomplish his purposes in the life of the nation of Israel. I am so thankful for our family ministry here at Northview Church, Northview kids and Northview students from birth to 18. In my opinion, and I will go on record saying this, I know this is being recorded, so it's in the books. Our ministry to our children and our students is the most important ministry that we do as a church, in my opinion. There's lots of opinions for me. It's the most important thing that we do. Most people come to faith in Jesus Christ during this season of life, and I could not be more proud of our family framework and the staff and the volunteers that we have in our Northview Kids and Student Ministries. If you are one of them, I want you to know that I think you are doing the most strategic, most significant ministry for the kingdom of God that you can do, and I thank you for it. I also tell that story because we have some teenagers in the room, we have some children in the room, and I want to let you know that you are the future of our church. You are the future of our church. God needs our teenagers and our kids to grow up in the faith, strongly embracing the truth of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that the baton will be passed from one generation to another. Hey, people, we are just stewards of his church for this season. Our kids and our students, we need them to step up. And I want to just say the best life you can live is in full devotion to Jesus Christ and a commitment to his word. And all right, I just have a few things that I want to share before we close. And the first one is that I recognize the mountaintops and the valleys, right? I started there, and I realize that there's a lot of emotions, and everybody's on that spectrum somewhere. If you want to talk with a pastor of our church, we are available. We have a wonderful, you know it, you know many of our pastors. These are wonderful men and women. And I would invite you, and we ask you just to reach out to us. And here's how you reach out. First name, dot, last name, at northviewchurch.us. Mark, dot, crawl, at Northview Church. So any pastor, that's how you can reach out to us. So I invite you, we are here for you, and we want to support you however we can. The second thing is to let you know that our elder team is entering into a season of prayer and fasting for our church as we begin this new search. And let me just kind of put a placeholder there. If my opinion holds any weight in your mind, and I respect and I appreciate that it may not, but if it does in any regard, I want to let you know that our elder team, our executive team, and our trustee team, I have the highest level of respect and confidence and trust in these men. These are good, God-loving, God-fearing men who are doing their very best to serve the Lord in the role that he's entrusted them with in our church. But we're going to enter into this season of prayer and fasting as we begin this search, and we're going to meet weekly starting this week for that purpose. And so I would invite you, if God would so lead you, I would invite you to pray and fast with our elders. I would just ask you, if you do that, I would just ask for three things. One is, pray however God leads you to pray. He'll lead you. Number two, believe that God heard your prayer. I know that sounds really weird to say it out loud. Believe. So if you pray for our elders in our church, believe that God heard your prayers. And number three, trust that whatever happens through this search, whatever happens, is God's perfect will, because he heard your prayer and he answered it according to his will for our church. Am I making sense there? That's how I'd invite you to join us and pray. Now, I have a story. I've got this tree. I love this tree. This is a beautiful tree. It's in my front yard. And when we bought the house, and I was looking at this tree, I noticed that this tree has two trunks on it. I don't know if you can see that. Two trunks. And upon further inspection, what I realized was it's not just two trunks, it's two completely different trees and two different species of trees that are growing up together. So what does any self-respecting man homeowner do Oh, by the way, one of them is totally dead and one of them is alive. So what would a man do in this scenario? Well, I went and I rented a chainsaw is what I did. And I go out to that tree and I fire that chainsaw up. And I mean, wee, wee, you know how loud they are? And as right when I did that, my brand new neighbor came running out of her house with her husband behind her, yelling at me, stop, you know, like, what are you doing? And like, it's like, hello, I'm your new neighbor. I'm Mark. You know, so I turned off the chainsaw, of course. And I said, well, I was planning to cut down this dead tree. He said, they said, well, you can't cut down that tree. I said, well, why not? They said, that tree's on our property. Now, in fairness to me, it's like right on the property line. Like, I don't know that it could be hardly one way or the other, but I was like, so I explained to them, well, I actually was just going to cut down the dead one and get rid of it. And I wasn't planning to cut down the tree. I was just going to cut the dead wood out of it. And they said to me, no, you're not. So I didn't, you know. I said, okay. And why do I share this story about my beautiful tree? I share it because I was sitting on my porch this spring one day, and as I looked out at that tree, God reminded me that he was in the business of bringing new life out of things that are dead or that feel dead. The same soil produced both of those trees. I am so glad that my neighbor stopped me. It was a gift from God. I believe that God is doing a new thing, a brand new thing to his church that we call Northview. And that new thing starts today. Today we turn the page and ask God to write a new chapter of his story. And if there was a title to his story for our church, I believe the title would be "To My Dearly Beloved Northview Church." And I invite you to be a part of it, whoever you are. My beautiful tree also reminds me of the words that God wrote through the prophet Isaiah to the nation of Israel when they were living in Babylonian captivity, which was a wasteland. Isaiah writes this in Isaiah 43 to God's people. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. One last thing before we close with a prayer and a song. I've been asked so many times, Mark, I love our church. I'm with you. How can I help? Here's how you can help. Be the church. Be the church. Be the family of God. Love and care for each other. Be a hospital where sick and hurting come. Be the army of God, sharing your faith. Be in the hands and feet of God. Be the school where you are making disciples. You are teaching and training younger believers how to grow up in the faith. Be the church. To our Anderson campus, Pastor Nate, be the church. To our Benford campus, Pastor Michael and everyone there, be the church. Here at the Carmel campus, Pastor Joe, let's be the church. To our Fishers campus, Pastor Joe and family out there, be the church. To our Flora campus, Pastor Dave, be the church. To our Greater Lafayette campus, Pastor John, be the church. To our Kokomo campus, Pastor Allen and our team there, everybody there in Kokomo, be the church. To our Noblesville campus and Pastor Joseph, be the church. To our Westfield campus and Pastor Todd I love you guys. I live closest to you all. Be the church. To our Greentown microsite and Brian and the team there, be the church. To our Brookside campus, Pastor Charles, I want you to be the church for our city. I love you, man. For our Newcastle Correctional family and Pastor Walt, they call him Pastor Homie. I love Walt Whiteman. This man is gold. I love you, Walt. And I'm going to call you all to be the church. Men, love each other. To our Miami Correctional campus, Pastor Jack, he's a sage. Be the church. To our Indiana Women's Prison campus and our leader there, Susan, I invite you to be the church. That's what you can do. We're going to close with a prayer, and it's a prayer that Jesus prayed. And some of you might think, oh, we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. Well, that's not it. All right. The Lord's Prayer is actually when Jesus was teaching his disciples how they should pray. This is Jesus actually praying his prayer for his disciples and for you and for me. Did you realize that Jesus prayed for you? I mean, think about that. I don't know if you've ever really thought about that concept. It's like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, prayed for me. Yes. He prayed for you and for me. And so it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. We're not going to read the whole thing as a prayer, but we're only going to read three of the verses. And this is what Jesus prayed for us. And here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to invite you to stand up now. Please stand up. We're going to pray this out loud in unison together. I'm going to do my very best to read this in a cadence that works. I'm not a great reader, so I'll do my very best here. But we're going to read it together. And then when we're done, the worship team's going to come out and close us with a song. So won't you pray with me? I am praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are, I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and love them in the same way you love me. Amen.